This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده وحبيبه وخاتم رسله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. My brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It is a pleasure for me and an honor for me to represent Islam and to stand here before you to talk about one of the compulsory pillars of our religion. One of the five pillars which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to act in our actions. My sisters and brothers, those verses which Sheikh Bilal Dannoun recited before are beautiful verses coming out from a beautiful voice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him. Verses speaking about Ramadan, about fasting, the virtues of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by abstaining from your basic needs of life, the food and the drink, the sexual temptations between husband and wife, which I will also recite to you because I need to explain them in my talk. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the fasting in these verses and praises that the fasting came down in a holy month called Ramadan. And after these verses, the beautiful verses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, calling out to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and telling him that if my servants ask you about me, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, if my servants ask you about me, tell them, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am close to them. Allah can hear and see and knows everything. You don't need to call out too loud or shout, and He knows what you think. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانٍ, I will respond to the caller when they call me. So let them answer to me and obey me, and let them, and so that they can reach success. These verses coming after Allah's command about fasting and submitting to Him in fasting are beautiful. It is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if you fast, if you sacrifice something which is dear to you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you obey Allah and sacrifice your basic needs, then don't worry. Allah will not lose any of your actions. Allah will not lose any of your deeds. He will preserve them for you and multiply them by assuring you that He is close to you. And that even following fasting, your closeness to Allah is so close that your dua can be heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is a greater hope of them being accepted. So with actions that please Allah comes acceptance of dua, my brothers and sisters. And abstinence from the forbidden things comes also the hope of your dua being accepted. And probably this is why many of us, we complain and we hear complaints about people's dua not being accepted. To begin with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord. And what does Lord mean? It means one who maintains, sustains, the Creator, the one who monitors us, the one who trains us, the one who makes sure that you are rightly guided and going on the right path and not falling into harm, the one who chooses the best means for us to train ourselves in to attain the best and reach the highest purity. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. He wants us to reach purity. He wants us to reach honor. He wants us to reach righteousness. He wants us to reach Jannah. Allah wants to meet you in Jannah. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to show you His glorious face, and there is nothing like Allah. He wants to show you Himself in Jannah. And how can you meet Him if you don't strive towards it and deserve it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created us, He knows how we can achieve this success. And He knows how we can achieve purity. So among His vast bounties and mercy, brothers and sisters, yes, bounties and mercy, is that He prescribed upon us, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a month of fasting. Obligatory, compulsory upon us to fast. And this is from the mercy of Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. When you speak about parents, for example, in the way, and those of you who are parents here will understand this. How do you train your children? How do you monitor your children? Sometimes you need to ground them, punish them in a certain way. Probably punish them by keeping them in a corner or in a room for a little while. You probably punish them or hit them if they go towards the knife or towards that red flame. They don't understand what that red flame will do to them. They don't understand what that knife is going to do. It's shiny. The flames are red. They're colorful. So when you punish them or hit them at a young age, they cry. They think that you've oppressed them. However, as they grow older, they begin to understand that you are merely doing this out of love because you want to prevent them from harm, and you are teaching them and training them. So you make things compulsory upon them. You prevent them from certain things which they love to do. Especially when they're older than that, towards the becoming teenagers, or at the age of teenagerhood. So it's only because you love them and you want them to become the best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to train us, because He knows that this nafs of ours, this soul which we have, this conscience of ours, this nafs, ammaratun bisu', it always commands us to do evil. And we have desires. We love to live in luxury. We love to feed our nafs with greed. We love to strive towards eating and drinking. We love to serve our sexual temptation faster than anyone else. And if you were to study the majority of the problems that we have nowadays in the world among Muslims and non-Muslims, you will find that most of it, if not all of it, is a result of this mouth, the eating and the drinking and the sexual appetite. All these crimes that you see, all because of some desire to eat and drink, sexual appetite. Because these are the minimum and the basic needs. If they can't get it, they will eat you. You know, a human being can become a cannibal after a few weeks or probably a few months if they have no food. They'll turn around and eat their friends. You know that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to train us in order that we may reach taqwa. Shaykh Bilal recited the verse which says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you in order for you to reach God consciousness. Taqwa. Taqwa. And taqwa not only means God consciousness, if you want it in more detail, it's basically to place a barrier between you and all harm, harm of this world and harm of the hereafter. Taqwa can also be interpreted as a person who is walking in a field full of thorny branches. So you are monitoring each step. Where is the next step going to go? Afraid of being harmed, spiked by those thorny branches. So you are always careful, every step that you take. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to reach that form of attitude. Not only in Ramadan. Ramadan is the time of training. Ramadan is the time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, training us physically, in practice, by experience, so that we may become better Muslims, conscious Muslims, aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, better attitude, a better nafs, in the later months to come. So in other words, brothers and sisters, fasting or our whole life is the month of Ramadan, if you like. You live for 60 or 70 years, 100 years. That 100 years is your month of Ramadan. That's how a Muslim should look at it. This is what we need to reach. Taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, He has prescribed it upon us as He prescribed it upon the people before us. This tells us that it's not only the Muslims, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that have to fast, or that it was commanded to them. This was to the Jews and the Christians before, the people of the book. Many other scholars, if you read in the tafsir, as well, talking about almost every, or probably every generation that passed before us, Allah had commanded them in one way or another to fast. Their prophets fasted, and every generation had a prophet who came to them. Their prophets told them to fast, commanded them to fast. Some of the narrations say that they used to fast from every month 3 days. And this is how the fasting used to be in the beginning of the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, in the beginning, when prayer came down and hijab came down, all these came down before even fasting came down. What I'm talking about is the fasting of the month of Ramadan. It wasn't compulsory yet. They used to fast 3 days of each month, and it was also voluntary. Whoever wanted to didn't want to fast, then they should feed a poor person for each day of those days. So this is what used to happen until finally, after 2 years of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after 2 years of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're talking about 13 years later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received that command that they must fast in the month of Ramadan. In other words, fasting actually existed way before. And this is why you probably hear still today that Christians or Catholic or Orthodox or whoever they are, they still fast in a certain way. Obviously, they've manipulated the way they fast and they've added and subtracted things, right? But they still have something called fasting in the Bible, in the Injil. And also the Jews have a form of fasting in the Torah. This also came in the Psalms of Dawood and many other scriptures before. You can read also about that and look it up. But alhamdulillah, we receive the best form of fasting. And it is the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who receives the greatest reward of fasting and the greatest success in fasting. No other Ummah other than the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who was given this compulsory fasting for a month, in the month of Ramadan, and said to us the following hadith which I'm going to mention to you about the virtues of Ramadan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, since we all know that fasting is an act by which a believer abstains from his or her most basic needs and urges for a lengthy time, why do you do that? You do that, brother or sister, because of your wonderful piety in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of your God-fearing, because you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you see, the wonderful thing about fasting, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in the hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every action that son of Adam does is for them. Yani, the angels reward you and there are prescribed rewards. Some of them are multiplied by 70 to 700 or 10 to 700. However, he said, except for the fasting, it is for me to deal with. I want to reward it in a special way. فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fasting is mine. Meaning, fasting is for me to look upon each individual alone. Nobody, no one knows the extent of your fasting, the intention of your fasting except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah said, this is a special deed. My servant abandons his food and his drink for me. His basic needs, which I naturally created for them to survive, he has given it up for me. So, oh my angels, oh people, listen. Fasting is for me. Bring it to me. I am going to reward this person in a special way that only I know about. So there is definitely a unique action, and it is directly tied with taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no one knows whether you are fasting or not. Tell me, when you fast in Ramadan, who can tell whether you are fasting or not? How can you tell? When we were young, we used to say, stick out your tongue. If it's white, that means you're fasting. But that's really not true. You probably chew on a chewing gum and your tongue will go white. Or suck a white lifesaver and your tongue will become white. But really no one knows, except for Allah and you. You could probably go somewhere and have a little bite. It'll only take you 5 seconds. A drink of water. It'll take you maybe a few seconds. No one will know. Therefore, it's completely reliant upon you. How strong is your taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala monitor, He recognizes this and knows that your fasting is something so special, so unique, different than hajj, different to prayer, different to jihad, different to anything. Because all of those other actions, you can probably show off with them. But with fasting, you can't show off in it. You, my dear brother or sister, as a true believer, you give up and you surrender, istislam, your food and drink and sexual desire for an entire month out of desire and intention to draw yourself closer to Allah and fulfilling the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. And come closer to Allah. Draw yourselves closer to Allah and submit to Him before the day of torture approaches you and you will have no support. And this is what you are doing in Ramadan, is what you are doing in your fasting. There are so many benefits related to fasting, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to talk about them today. And reasons why we fast. And the benefits to us physically, mentally and spiritually, in this life and in the hereafter. You will be amazed, inshaAllah, by the benefits. And probably I would like you to go and share them with your family members who didn't attend here tonight. Share them with your friends who aren't here with you tonight. Share them with your friends or people who you know amongst the non-Muslims. Me, as personally, I mean, back in Melbourne, we have students always coming to the mosque from non-Muslim schools, Catholic, Orthodox, Xavier College, all these other different non-Muslim schools. They come to the mosque and one of the first questions they ask is, why do you fast? And when we give them these explanations, wallahi, they really feel like they're lacking from so much and they feel humiliated in some way. But you need to know, because this is a question they all ask us. Why? Why do you have to give up your food and drink, man? They look at you like we're some strangers or weirdos. Why do you want to give up your food and drink? You need to survive. They don't understand it. They don't know why. But inshallah, maybe tonight, you'll get a kind of an understanding. Fasting is one of the tremendous ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to educate ourselves, to honor ourselves, to make ourselves better people with a better attitude and a better personality. And it lessens the burden of physical, mental, and spiritual harms that one may be afflicted with in this life and in the hereafter. But if only we knew how. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَن تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you fast, it is better for you. If only you knew. If only you knew. But we are like children whose parents are always trying to slap them so that we don't go and burn ourselves in the fire or come near the gas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, wants the best for us and wants to ease lots of the pain and wants to make us better people, as we said. And He warns us from those people who follow their desires, your friends who follow their desires, they want to lead you astray very far. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. يريد الله أن يخفف عنكم وخلق الإنسان ضعيفا. Which means Allah wants to forgive your sins. This is what Allah wants. He wants to forgive your sins. But those who follow their tempting and sexual desires, they want to ruin you and they want to turn you away from righteousness and purity. Allah wants to lessen the burdens off you. He wants to lessen the burdens of harm off you. But man was created weak in his nature. We are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overcome our weakness, my dear brothers and sisters. A Muslim tries to overcome their weak nature, which they are created with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the month of Ramadan for our fasting. Why? In order to let us recognize the superiority of this event. You see, in the Sahih hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, narrated by Ibn Abbas, I think, and you will find this hadith in Riyadh al-Salihin, if you wanted to look it up, that every revelation, every holy book that was sent down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala onto the prophets that received them, was always in the month of Ramadan. The months of Islam have always been there. Muharram, Safar, and all of those months. Always in the month of Ramadan, either in the beginning or the middle or the end. So the Injil was sent down in Ramadan, the Torah in Ramadan, Az-Zabur, Zams of Dawood in Ramadan, all these were sent down in Ramadan, and the Quran was also sent down in Ramadan. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explains that the Quran was sent down from Allah to the worldly sky, all of it together, the whole Quran. We all know that we received the Quran from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his time over a number of 23 years. So it was bit by bit. So how do we explain what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran? شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ Shaykh Bilal, as he was reciting. The month of Ramadan is in which the Quran was sent down. How do we explain the verse where it says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرُ We sent down the Quran in the night of Qadr, of power, meaning in Ramadan. Ibn Abbas explains to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down from him to the worldly sky in a place called Baytul Izzah. And then Jibreel alayhi salam began to give it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in portions. As we practiced our day-to-day life, this is how it was. So the Quran was actually sent down, complete, prepared to the worldly sky, and the angels knew about it before it was sent down here. This is the meaning of that verse. So it is a holy month. It is a wonderful month. The month in which this great revelation, the Quran, was the words of Allah, not created, a part of Allah, which are His words, was sent down to us. And I don't mean the writing that you read, it's the recitation that you recite. In the same verse, Allah says, Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship. Those of us who think that fasting is so that we can go through hardship has misunderstood the meaning and the purpose and objective of Ramadan, of fasting. Allah does not intend for you hardship and wants for you to complete the period of the month of Ramadan and to glorify Allah for guiding you. Allahu Akbar. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is guidance? Let's see how it is, inshaAllah. Allah says finally, in the hope that you will be grateful. In the hope that you will be grateful. We abstain from food and drink, and our intercourse, husband and wife, we give it up, sacrifice it. It's not a hardship, and in the end Allah is saying, in the hope that you can be grateful to that. Let's see how it is, inshaAllah. Allah works in mysterious ways. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Allah knows everything and we don't know anything. First of all, this month definitely is very special to Allah, isn't it? Yani by these verses and these hadith, we understand that this month is quite special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's of great value to Him. Tayyib, if it's special to Allah and so valuable to Allah, wouldn't you want to be the first to grasp it and to do it perfectly and wanting to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a thing which He loves a lot? I do, inshaAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the month of Ramadan starts, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانَ the gates of heaven are opened, and the gates of hellfire are closed, and the devils are chained. However, some of the scholars said that your qareen, the shaitan which you are born with that stays with you, is still with you. However, he or she, the shaitan, finds it extremely difficult to be able to whisper to you or travel through your veins. Because when you are fasting, your veins constrict and the blood flows a little bit easier and thinner, which makes the pathway for the shaitan very hard. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَيَجْرِبْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَدْ دَمْ The shaitan flows through your veins like blood flows through the veins. And if you want a bit more detail, probably something for you to know, The shaitan is made of fire, and the only way he's able to flow into your blood is that when there is a current. You know, when we call a current a river, when it has a current. That current produces electricity. And so therefore, shaitan is able to travel through your body when there is a current of blood flowing. Did you not hear the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَالَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ is like a person whom the shaitan possesses them out of mass. Mass is similar to short circuitry. So there is electricity in your body and the shaitan flows through it. In Ramadan when you fast, naturally, because there's not much nutrition going through your veins and arteries, therefore your veins are constricted and makes it really physically hard for the shaitan to flow to them, through them, and whisper to you. And these are one of the reasons why you find yourself a little bit more pious in Ramadan, among other reasons. And the doors of heaven are opened, meaning the mercy of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah, the pardoning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is open. Yani the Jannah, all of its 8 doors, open, ready to accept anybody. Yani if you were to die in Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever dies in Ramadan, obviously have fasted it properly and believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, will enter Jannah, if you die in Ramadan. And the doors of hellfire are closed, meaning Allah's anger, Allah's wrath is diminished. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to be angry at anybody. He has given you this great opportunity. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was climbing up the minbar one day, and probably you know this hadith, the companion said, as he was climbing the minbar, he said, Ameen on the first step, Ameen on the second step, Ameen on the third step. After that, they asked him, O Messenger of Rasulullah, why did you say Ameen, Ameen, Ameen? He said, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and said to me, may his nose be rubbed in dust. In other words, he has lost everything. How unsuccessful is someone whose parents, I'm going to put some of them before others, whose parents grow old in age and they live to meet their parents old in age, and he dies, and because of them, he still does not enter paradise. رَغِمَ أَنْفُهُ Prophet ﷺ said, Ameen. Because it's a great opportunity. Meaning your parents die and they're displeased with you. The second one, whoever hears your name, and they don't send Allah's blessings and prayers upon you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ameen. Then finally he said, the one who approaches Ramadan, and finishes Ramadan, وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ and his or her sins have not been forgiven. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ameen. Ameen. The only reason the Prophet ﷺ said Ameen is because this is the greatest opportunity for anybody to have their sins forgiven. If in this month you do not seize the opportunity, do the righteous deeds, ask Allah for forgiveness in that month, abstain from the muharramat, from the forbidden things, especially in that month, then what kind of other chance could there possibly be a greater opportunity than the month of Ramadan? So the Prophet ﷺ said, well, he deserves for his nose to be rubbed in dust. If Ramadan comes and goes and still nothing is forgiven, meaning you haven't done the work. So we ask Allah subhanahu to make us one of those who are forgiven in Ramadan. In the hadith, as we said before, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah says, every deed of the son of Adam are for them, except fasting. I will reward it in a special way. Fasting is a shield. As-sawmu junnah. Fasting is a shield from harm and hellfire. And then he goes on by saying, by him in whose hands my soul is, the change of smell that comes from the breath of a fasting believer is better to Allah than the smell of musk. There are two pleasures for the person who fasts. One, at the time of breaking it, and the other, at the time when he will meet his Lord or her Lord on the Day of Judgment. Then, on the Day of Judgment, he or she will be pleased because they had fasted well. In Sahih Bukhari. لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ فَرَح. You know, when you have a wedding, it's called a farah. Well, this great farah for the mu'min is when they break their fast in Eid and on the Day of Judgment, when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and open up their book, and in your records you find so much fasting, the month of Ramadan, followed by Shawwal, and before that Sha'ban, voluntary fasting during the year, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, there is a gate in paradise called Ar-Rayyan, and those who observe fast will enter through it on the Day of Judgment, and only they will enter through it, no one else. It will be said, where are those who used to fast? And on the Day of Judgment, a voice will call out among all those trillions of people, where are those who used to fast? They will get up, and none except them will enter through this door. After their entry, the gate will be closed, and nobody will enter through it again. Abadan. This is a special door for the people of fasting, with special rewards, with special gifts inside. This is also in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ also said, whoever fasts just one day, voluntarily. Listen to this. Whoever fasts one day, voluntarily, just to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day you just wake up and you say, I want to fast today. Or you say, tomorrow I'm going to fast, for no reason. Just to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closer to Him. Allah will keep his face away from the fire as far as 70 years journey. 70 years journey. And this is just voluntary fasting, brothers and sisters. Fasting the voluntary 3 days of each month also, especially in Shaban, as we said, in the 6 days of Shawwal. The 10th of Muharram, where the Prophet ﷺ said, 2 years before will be forgiven of your sins. Or the day of Arafah, when you are here, not in Hajj. So if these are the voluntary fasting, you get so many rewards like this. What do we say when the Prophet ﷺ told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is nothing more beloved to me than the compulsory actions which I have made obligatory upon my servants. Yani the fasting of Ramadan is more beloved to Allah than any other voluntary fasting. If the voluntary fasting makes you be driven away from hellfire as far as 70 years journey, what about doing the compulsory acts which Allah loves even more than that? Allahu Akbar. In Ramadan, there are also the last 10 days, more virtues, in which Laylatul Qadr falls. In one of those days, Laylatul Qadr falls, in one of the last 10 days of Ramadan, in odd numbers, in which any dua you ask Allah in, Allah will accept in that night. Whatever you pray, your prayer is equal to 1,000 months. It is a night which the Prophet ﷺ used to wait for it anxiously. In the last 10 nights, he would tie his belt well, stay up throughout the whole night, wake up his family, and they would pray all night to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pray, recite Quran, make dua, all of these types of worship. And Shaykh Bilal will probably talk to you more about that. But the Laylatul Qadr, the night of forgiveness, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it to, surely has been granted so much goodness. It is, my dear brothers, therefore, and sisters, the month of forgiveness. The month of forgiveness, the month of opportunity, the month of reconciling with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not just in that month. Well, there are some people who, subhanAllah, some people when they enter into Ramadan, they think that here comes a burden, here comes a hardship, here comes a big sacrifice where I have to say, and they hate it. So the day before Ramadan, or a couple of days before Ramadan, he or she goes out and does every haram thing in the book. They think to themselves, well, I deserve it because one whole month I'm going to sacrifice. As soon as Ramadan is ended, on Eid, they go out and do all the haram things in the book again, because then they think to themselves, well, I deserve it now because I've fasted and done a lot of good things for a month. Where does it end? These types of people, my dear brothers and sisters, have gotten nothing out of Ramadan. Nothing at all. In fact, these will be the types of people that the Prophet ﷺ said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ. There could be a person who fasts and will receive nothing from their fasting except hunger and thirst. وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ. And it could be that a person will be praying in the middle of the night in Ramadan, will receive nothing except sleepless nights. Imagine that. You fast and you stay away and you suffer for nothing. For nothing. So here are the benefits and reasons for fasting for you, brothers and sisters, and for us to understand. First of all, you need to understand this. That Islam is completely consistent with the human nature. Do we all agree? Our instinct, our human nature. The commands of Islam are continuously consistent with our human nature. And this is why a non-Muslim, a kafir, when they listen to the Qur'an and really listen to it properly with its meanings, or listen to the words of the Prophet ﷺ, they always commonly say to me, they don't know what to say, so all they can say is, it makes so much sense. And if they have better English, they say, it relates to me. What are they talking about? The Qur'an reads them. Because Islam, Allah has designed it and created it to be compatible with the human nature. And He has given it to us. The acts of eating, drinking, and sexual intercourse are not evil things in themselves. Like just because we have to fast from food and drink, and it doesn't mean that it's evil. They are part of the human nature. But as Muslims, we understand that these natural actions must not be left to just run free. We have to restrain them. We have to control them. As I said before, if we leave our desires free, wallahi, we'll kill, we'll murder, we'll steal, we'll rape, we'll become addicted to drugs. All of these sexual diseases will spread as they have done in the kufr life. So these desires have to be suppressed and controlled. Nor are they to be denied completely. They don't say, I never want to eat or drink. This is haram. But you have to control them. As I said, otherwise we will dive into these desires and not care about the consequences. Widespread sexually transmitted diseases, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, murders, rape, all of these things, we find them nowadays abundant. Abundant in all the worlds. So there is no control to that desire. I remember once interviewing The Age, and they asked me, what is a message that you would like to give to the Western people from an Islamic point of view? And I said, if there is anything to the Australian, they asked me about the Australian people, I said, it's for them to learn how to create boundaries for themselves. They've got no boundaries, man. Just feed this body, live a luxury life, do what you please, whatever you like, become a sodomite if you wish, become a lesbian if you wish, you know, have a dog as your son or adopt it if you like, whatever you like, whatever pleases you, just go ahead. And they did a survey one time about with some university students asking them, if you can rape a girl and get away with it, would you do it? And 80% of them said yes. But only the laws and the prisons, this is what prevents them. What prevents us Muslims is not that. What prevents us is our piety in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the accountability on the Day of Judgment. Otherwise, especially us Arabs, if we were to be let free and there's no accountability, if we're this bad now, what will happen to us later? So, alhamdulillah for Islam. Alhamdulillah for Islam, alhamdulillah. I don't mean to pick on the Arabs, wallah. The Arabs in the beginning, mashallah, if they didn't have good in them, Allah would not have sent the Qur'an onto them in their language. So don't go too far, brothers and sisters. So it needs to be harnessed, our desires, in order to produce positive results for our souls and even for humanity at large. But we need to tame our desires. We need to tame it, ya ikhwan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an,
والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها.
He swears by all these creations. Then he says,
ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها.
And the nafs, and the way Allah created it and fashioned it, He gave it the ability to do good and evil.
قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا.
Whoever controls it and honors it has succeeded.
وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا.
And whoever obeys it and gives it what it desires all the time and lets it free, like an untamed animal, has lost everything. So we have to tame ourselves. This is what makes us good Muslims. We are conscious, aware. So we need to tame ourselves, brothers and sisters. And fasting does that for us. It helps a lot in our inner urges and teaches us how to have self-control over ourselves, self-control over our anger. Yani, husbands who get home and they're hungry from work, usually the first person that they have to lose their anger and their temper towards, this miskina, this wife at home who's been looking after the children, If he doesn't find the food ready, he loses it. Obviously, this is a person who doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah commands him and obliges him to fast in Ramadan and tell him, fix yourself up. You can say probably fasting or Ramadan is a time for rehabilitation. We're too addicted to our desires. We're too addicted to our evil ways. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us a session of rehabilitation. And what a great rehabilitation it is for those who do it properly. Among the first benefits that we receive is that fasting is a source of forgiveness for our sins. No doubt. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever fasts Ramadan with faith and hoping for its reward, ihtisaban, shall have all of his previous sins forgiven for him. If you fast it hoping for its reward, while being pleased to perform it, without considering it something heavy or a burden or a hardship upon you, and complaining all day until the iftar time comes, right? If you do it hoping for Allah's mercy, wanting to come to Allah, being ready to want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying to yourself, yes, I am going to compete with myself, I'm going to train myself, I'm going to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I love this training, I'm going to see what it can do for me. If you do that and you are prepared and ready, wallahi, you will live a beautiful life. You'll become one of the most conscious and pious people. You'll become happy mentally, physically, and spiritually. But if you complain and you find that it's a burden and a hardship for you, really you're not going to harness the benefits of it. Number two, if you fast, you should be able to feel like you are doing something beloved and special to Allah. And when you're fasting, brothers and sisters, a lot of people lack this. They don't understand what kind of a value they are actually practicing. You have to try and you have to understand and feel that this is something that Allah really loves. He loves what you're doing. Something special to Allah. And you are doing something special to Him. يعني ولله المثل الأعلى, to Allah belongs the best of examples. Husband and wife, if you love one another a lot, you do special things for one another. Right? The wife does special things to please her husband, and the husband does special things to please his wife, even though they don't really want to do these things. However, they do them in order to please their husband. When they see the pleasure of their spouse there, they feel happy about that because they've accomplished something special. And it brings your closeness and your tie and your relationship even closer, rather than being selfish and looking after your own rights and demanding them. So when you sacrifice something special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you develop a love from Allah towards you. You develop a closeness between you and Allah, which is special between you and Him. Because nobody knows about your fasting except for Him. It also, my dear brothers and sisters, strengthens your qualities of patience. We already gave an example of that. In fact, it touches on all the branches of patience. There are three types of patience. Patience is of three types, right? So you know them. It's persevering by continually performing the acts of worship. For example, continually praying, continually fasting, continually wearing your hijab, continually abstaining from, continually doing the acts of worship. Fasting and breaking it at the commanded time is also a continuous thing. Another form of patience is persevering by refraining from what Allah forbade. So being patient and persevering on staying away from alcohol and pork and haram, looking at haram, touching haram, lying, gossiping, backbiting, all that stuff. And also remaining under control in times of hardship and difficulties. A member of your family dies, your brother dies, calamity of loss of wealth, or you're sick, hunger and thirst in Ramadan. So fasting and breaking, you are persevering by obeying Allah in that command. Abstaining from food, drink and intercourse, you are persevering by staying away from the forbidden things in Ramadan. Pains of hunger and thirst, you are persevering by being patient on the pain of hunger and thirst. So all of the signs of patience are in Ramadan. It also reminds you, fasting reminds you of your true goal and purpose in life. Wallahi al-azim. Yani, when you fast, what are you actually doing? You're putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before your own desires. What are these desires? Your basic needs of life for living. So when you put Allah before you in Ramadan, in fasting, you really begin to discover yourself, what you really want out of life. And you really begin to discover yourself, what is your true priority in life. When you fast, if you're happy about it, and you understand that you're pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will understand what you really prioritize. It means that you are really prioritizing the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You really want to save yourself before anything. Another benefit is that it gives you time to think and ponder, doesn't it? You see, the things that occupy us right now, if you really wanted, if you had a diary and you wrote what really occupies you in the day, right? You will find that it all comes down to food and drink and sexual desires. To get to sexual desires, you need energy. Where does energy come from? Food and drink. If you want to work or go to the casino or do something active, I mean, all the haram requires you to have energy, right? If you want to do that, you have to be able to have some source of energy, mental energy, physical energy, whatever. And that's harnessed through food. When you abstain from this, your energy is diminished. Your mental, your glucose in your brain is also, you know, minute. So what happens to you? You don't try to go out too much. You don't try to go to the places where you used to go to in haram. You try not to, you don't, even though some young fellows, single, they surprise me when they say, "Subhanallah, brother, I find that in Ramadan, my sexual appetite rises." And this is something really strange, wallah al-azim. But however, really, even if you have that urge in Ramadan, really, you don't have enough physical power, you don't have the mental state to really go ahead and do it. Even if you have that urge, how many people really in Ramadan, really go out to that effort and start going to those places and stuff? So it gives you time, actually, it gives you more time. It gives you more time and space to reflect, to think, to ponder over your sins, to reconcile with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It keeps you away from the toxic matters that affect your brain when your stomach is full. So as I said, it frees you and gives you the time to ponder and think and regret your sins and accountability with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another benefit is that it makes you feel the plight of others. Yani the people who can't eat, can't drink because they're too poor. It gives you the opportunity not only to know it in theory, and this is what makes the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this experience better than others, in that you get to feel what these poor people are going through. What does it do for you? It makes you a generous person. It forces you to think about them. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentioned this sacrifice of fasting in Ramadan, after that He said, and look after the orphans. Because the orphans are deprived of many of the luxuries which you have. In Ramadan, when you deprive yourself of these luxuries, you get to feel it. And when a poor person is mentioned to you, or a person who is inadequate, or a person who is an orphan, you feel sorry for them. It trains you. The Prophet ﷺ said, look at those who are lower than you, having less than you. And do not look at those who are above you, having more than you. As otherwise, the bounties of Allah upon you would become insignificant to you. You won't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. And this is why kuffar, they don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't understand, you know, what it means to have this luxury. They're not grateful. Fasting takes you even further. You don't just see the plight of others, but you feel it, as I said. Especially this day and age, in our time, food, drink, electricity and luxury, you know, is all readily available at our disposal. Everything we want is there. So it becomes easy to take them for granted. And it's easy for you to forget the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Becoming greedy, becoming selfish, bad-tempered and spoiled. It's what happens to us when we get used to luxury. And this is our state here in Australia, brothers and sisters. We're too used to luxury and we don't... And subhanAllah, Prophet ﷺ said, go and visit the graves, visit the hospitals, visit the sick people, see what they're going through. Go through the land and see what plight other people are going through. And then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having a piece of bread that you eat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces you to feel that because it's good for you. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the verse by saying, in hope that you may be thankful. When you fast, Allah wants you to come out of that thinking, alhamdulillah that I have food and drink. It develops awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to abstain from all forbidden things before and after Ramadan. It develops a strong awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are fasting just for Allah, You're aware of Allah. You're afraid. You know, when if you go into the corner, for example, how many of us here, we're afraid to break our fast when nobody's seeing us? We do, don't we? Even a child, they turn fast. So when they're alone, they're still afraid to eat or drink. Because you tell them, Allah can see you. Allah bishufak. Allah muttali'un alayk. Allah can see you. And so we're always afraid. And this is, alhamdulillah, the essence of taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go through that for a whole month, obviously, especially in Ramadan, we feel that more. We're afraid to eat or drink, right? We develop a sense of stronger consciousness of Allah's presence. Of Allah's presence. And therefore, after Ramadan, it becomes easier for you to have that sense of Allah's presence. So you will abstain from haram things after Ramadan until the next Ramadan. In Ramadan, you also realize the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This food and drink which you have prevented yourself with. You realize that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He can prevent you from this food and this drink. And how will you survive? How will your state be? So you go into that effect and find, subhanAllah, Allah can easily prevent this from me. And look at my state now. So if Allah were to really prevent it from me, how would my state be? So what do? It should make you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say to Him, Ya Rabb, I've recognized and I've realized I've realized how far away I've been, how blind I have been in my other days. So I ask you to guide me. You're the only one who can sustain me. You're the only one who can provide me. Guide me, Ya Rabb, guide me, because I'm lost. It also trains you to control the two greatest potential sources of evil. Does anybody know what are the two greatest potential sources of evil? Please answer. What do you think? Have a guess. Other than you, Akhi. No. Yes. Can anybody guess the two sources of potential evil? No. Not killing a Muslim. Not shirk. Yes, that is correct. The two potential sources of evil, where all the evil comes out from, is what's between the lips, as Prophet ﷺ said, between your jaws, and what is between a person's legs, yani the private part. These are the cause of most of the evil that happens in the world. A notable scholar said, the other blessing of fasting is that it bars to a great extent the main doors of corruption, as defined in more than one tradition. It is this hunger and this sex urge. It is due to them that man gets involved in so many troubles and drags others into this as well. These are the routes by which shaitan attacks man. Fasting takes best care of these two. While fasting, not only eating and drinking are prohibited, but also quarreling, telling lies, backbiting, indulging in idle talk and gossip, are all at cross purposes with fasting. Once again, it reminds you of the purpose of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the kuffar in contrast to the Muslims. And I have 2 more minutes, inshaAllah. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ. Those who reject Allah will enjoy this world and eat as cattle eat. And what do cattle do, brothers and sisters? They just eat al-alif. Alif. Eat and sleep. And mate. Eat, sleep, and mate. And then they die and turn into dust. So Allah subhanahu talks about those who reject Allah subhanahu. What do? They just eat, sleep, and mate. With no other purpose in life. No objective in life. And the fire will be their abode. The believer never has this type of a life. The believer believes that eating is only a means to worship Allah. While the kafir believes that eating and drinking is so that they can live. And today there's a new motto among the West, especially in the modern society, and have taken it a further step by saying that now we live to eat. Now they live to eat, is what they live for. It demonstrates your sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, brothers and sisters. And finally, which is one of the most important, it relieves you from the burden of wants and worldly peer pressure frustration. Huh? You know, at the moment we're in a modern disease called the desire for more. You always want more, 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 more. Give me, give me, give me. I want this, I want that. And the disease is even greater through the advertisements and other, man-made human temptations which have made us believe, for some reason, that many things that are superficial are necessities in our life, that one can't live without. That this is what they've come to make us believe. Things that are really superficial, we can't live without them. La guafera, you know, the hairdresser, we have to be there all the time. We have to have our blow dryers ready. We have to have this certain thing in our house ready. We have to have a television. We have to have this certain thing. We have to have this certain that. All through advertisement. We have to have this type of a car, these types of shoes. We have to have this type of dressing, this type of food. We have to have this type of clothing. Yani, it's come to into our heads that it's as if we can't survive without them. When you fast and you abstain from the most basic needs of your life, you come to realize, subhanAllah, you know, I can't survive without even the basic needs. So all this luxury which they're tempting me with and taking my money for is just really a lie. It's a temptation from the shaitan to lead me astray. And so it makes you humble and makes you give up this world. Then you find yourself in Ramadan. Yeah, and you find yourself really humbled. You find yourself wanting to do good deeds, pondering. Huh? We all find this in ourselves, don't we? We feel like we want to do lots of good deeds, subhanAllah. So the fasting develops this perspective in our head. And you realize that your pretty clothing, the collection of wishes and self-made needs, beautiful houses, delicious food, and fast-moving cars, etc., they are not really the greatest necessity in your life, and you can do without them, so it makes you more generous and donate them and humble yourself. If all human crimes and sins are listed, my dear brothers and sisters, and if the basic reasons of greed, destruction and murder are sought, the ultimate link will be found in the food and the drink of the people. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I hope that we have benefited something from our talk today. I've gone past my time limit, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring this glorious month of Ramadan to us while we are in the best of health, and make us able to serve its benefits and harvest from it its fruits, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to harvest from. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it will be a training session for us, like a person who tames a wild horse, right? Makes us go through difficulties and hardship. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, makes us, you know, go through it with ease and with love and happiness. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our unity even stronger. أقول قولي هذا والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله